Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist.
For Thursday, October 2nd, 2014. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design coach, coming to you live from Samish Island, Washington State, as I do every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, we have another awesome show for you today. Joining me for part two of three in the body-mind-soul connection is transformational beliefs coach Susan Turnbull. Today, we turn our attention to what is perhaps the one subject that is universally a source of trouble for my clients and perhaps even Susan's as well, and that is money. That is issues around money, beliefs around money, and for example, the fact that sometimes we believe what we deserve or what we're worthy of is less than what it needs to be in order for us to have the kind of life that we want to live. And there are often issues around receiving, and that happens often for women. And today, most of my callers, at least four of them that I have today, are women. So this will be interesting for us to take a look at. Susan and I will be taking your calls and doing readings for you a little later in the broadcast. If you haven't already sent me your birth information for a reading, know that Steve, my producer, will attempt to get you get that information to me, and we will try to get you in as time allows. I usually like to request that people who want readings to please let me know by 3 p.m. Pacific time, the day of the show, as it makes it much easier and quicker for me if I can have your chart ready before the show starts. And if you want to do that, say, for next week, where we move into part three of this discussion on beliefs, where we will deal with relationships, then send me your birth information to janet@living-astrology.com. That's janet@living-astrology.com. All right. And it's never too soon to be able to do that because people start sending me their information usually on Mondays, so send it in. Now, before we get to the heart of the show today, let's take a quick look at what's up in the stars, because we have kind of a wild and wacky week coming up, as if it hasn't been wild and wacky already for such a long time. So, first of all, you all know I'm a Gemini, and my friend Susan, who's going to be on the line here with us in a few minutes, is a Virgo. Both of us have Mercury as our ruling planets, and our favorite planet, Mercury, goes retrograde on the 4th. I think that's this Saturday. And it will be retrograding from 2 degrees Scorpio back into 16 degrees Libra. And the entire cycle from the 3 weeks beforehand, which is that shadow period, through to the end of the cycle is from September 14th all the way through November 10th. And so we have this extended period of time where communication can be wonky, where transportation can be wonky, where things can get lost, or issues that you thought were resolved can come back up to you. And I guarantee you, because we begin this retrograde in Scorpio, that a lot of it can start out as some emotion, emotional issues or the sort of debris left over from some of the things that have been happening to us over the last several months. Well, screw that. Let's just say going back all the way to last August of 2013, when we first started having some really key things come up for us. And I can tell you, we are just about in the clear of some of that energy. And so this Mercury retrograde takes those emotions, some of the things that we wanted to create, even some of the things that we are passionate about, And as the retrograde takes us back into Libra, then we start to be able to formulate a plan, a way to get things done. Now, this is not a time for us to act on those things, basically. It's a time for us to really work with them on the internal level. Maybe, you know, make the plan, but not act on it until after we're done completely with the whole retrograde, which won't be until November 10th. The best news, I think, of this week, and probably the wonkiest thing of the week, will be next Thursday when we have, or next Wednesday, excuse me, when we have the total lunar eclipse at 16 degrees across the Libra-Aries axis. And 16 degrees may sound familiar to you, as that is exactly where Mercury is retrograding back to. So this particular area of our astrology charts is very action-packed right now, because not only do we have the Sun there, we also have Mercury moving into that territory, but the North Node, or our destiny, is also transiting through this part of the chart. So it makes for sort of an electric sort of energy, particularly because at the opposite end of Libra, or the opposite end of 16 degrees Libra, is the planet Uranus sitting in Aries, right about the 14-15 degree mark. So we have the planet of, I always call it the planet of shock and awe, sitting across from some of this energetic door opening, door closing energy. And so it could be a dicey time for everybody. In Libra, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about how do we bring a balance and harmony into our lives, because I can almost guarantee you, I just only have to look at my life and see where I'm out of balance to know how other people out there may be also out of balance. And so it's our time to be able to bring things back into balance, to bring some peace and harmony into our lives. And sometimes, in order for us to do that, it takes something like a planet Uranus to shake us up a bit, to show us, you know, what is it that we can let go of that's not serving us anymore. And so that is the energy that's teeming and toning us up for this week, let's say. Now let's switch our emphasis for a minute and look at what's going on in the night sky. Mars and Saturn are visible in the night sky right after sunset. Mars, very near to the red giant star Antares, and actually the star Antares is actually brighter than Mars. So you'll see these two red bodies close to each other. The lighter of the two will be Mars. And of course, Saturn is a sort of golden light in the sky, and they are visible right after sunset. And as we start moving through the month of October, Saturn will be sinking closer and closer to the sun as it sets, and so it will be harder and harder for us to see it. So get out now, at least tonight here, it looks like for me in the Pacific Northwest, I don't know, it's kind of sort of cloudy. I might be able to see these planets in the night sky. Mercury is visible in the morning sky, but it's very faint because it's kind of rising at the same time the sun is, just a little bit above before the sun is rising. And as we move further into October, of course, it's moving into that retrograde station and means it will be invisible for us. Venus and Jupiter are both visible in the morning sky. But Venus is really getting too close to the sun to see very well. So she's actually rising just a little bit before the sun. You might be able to see her. She'll get lost in the glare of sunrise. But Jupiter rises between midnight and 2 a.m. throughout the month of October. So we should be able to see Jupiter in the east as the sun rises in the mornings throughout the month of October. If you live in the western United States, or even up to the midwestern United States, on the evening of October 8th, you will be able to see the total lunar eclipse. It's the first one we've been able to see for a while. The eclipse begins in earnest around 3:50 a.m., and so that means for you in the central part of the country, it'll be about 5:50 in the morning, and that's why I say you'll be able to see a good chunk of the eclipse in the Midwest, but you probably won't be able to see it all depending on local sunrise. And for us in the West, we should be able to see the whole eclipse, so hallelujah. All right, so pretty much that's what's going up in the stars this week. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at what's going on for the rest of October, as well as dealing with the part three of our body, mind, and spirit connection, and dealing with relationships. So last week, we began our discussion on the premise that there is a very strong foundational relationship between our body, our mind, and spirit, and that our physical world is really an outpicturing of the sum total of our beliefs, and meaning that nothing exists in the outer world that didn't start out as a thought or a belief. And further, we talked about the categories of beliefs, and I separated them into three categories: collective beliefs, such as aging, or that there is a God or a higher power, and the agreement between us collectively what constitutes the real world versus an ideal world. Then the second category would be tribal or cultural beliefs, and I categorize them as things like religion or government or the work-for-money paradigm, and even marriage in most cases is a tribal or a cultural kind of belief. And then we have individual beliefs, such as the I'm not worthy, I'm doomed by my genetics to get cancer or to have heart problems, or et cetera, you fill in the blank. Or in the case of some money beliefs, an example would be I'll never be able to afford that, blank, 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 fill in the dot. So the question for today's show becomes, can we trace our concerns about money and the problems we have with money to our beliefs? And then can we see from our astrology charts and our human design charts what the real truth is for us personally about money? And I believe that we'll discover that the answer is yes, as does my guest. So let me introduce you to her now. Susan Turnbull is a transformational beliefs coach, certified biokinesiologist, emotional energy specialist, human design specialist, author, public speaker, workshop seminar facilitator, spiritual intuitive, and is a certified BARS practitioner with Access Consciousness, and is a certified facelift energy practitioner. She has created a unique one-of-a-kind pilot coaching program for the at-risk population using her proprietary Beliefs Breakthrough coaching assessments. And as well, she uses these assessments in personal one-on-one sessions, coaching people to transcend and transform their limiting beliefs. Susan has successfully coached me through my own limiting beliefs, for which I am eternally grateful. Please welcome my best friend I've never met personally, Susan Turnbull. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Janet.
Welcome back to Living Astrology. I am so glad to have you here.
Thank you. I always enjoy working with you, and am looking very, very forward to today's show.
You know, I am too, and I was really surprised that I was not inundated with people on this particular subject today, and we may yet be inundated, but it was very surprising because almost exclusively the number one problem that I hear from people are about financial concerns. And
yes,
obviously underneath all of that comes these beliefs, and that's the part that you're going to be helping us with today, right?
Yes, that's my little niche in the world.
Right, right, right. So, you know, why don't you start us out by talking to us about beliefs and how they're running the show, and then from there, you know, we'll take it into the astrology and human design component of this whole thing, okay?
Okay. And for anyone that may be on the show today that wasn't on last week, I'm going to do a little Reader's Digest version so that you understand how your subconscious beliefs are running the show. And like last week, we talked about the fact that we obtain our beliefs from, a lot of people say birth to age 6 or 7. I'm telling you, and I have proof of this with working with my own children, we are getting beliefs in utero. I had an issue go back with my daughter, and because I carried her, I was able to detect that this belief came up at second trimester. So by the time we're 6 or 7 years old, pretty much every belief we have is in stone. And from that point forward, we build layer upon layer upon layer of experiences that reinforce these beliefs. Now, mind you, we're little tiny children. And we're taking things in around us at age, you know, 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, 2 years of age, 4 years of age, when we're really not old enough to delineate what is going on. In addition to that, we're only operating up until about the age six on of the four brain waves, we're only operating on the delta and theta brain wave. And what does that mean for beliefs? That means that all the information you're taking in through your eyes, your ears, your senses are being hardwired directly into your brain, into your computer, and there are no filters. There's no logical reasoning as to what it is that you're taking in. So a lot of these beliefs become skewed and distorted, and then we grow up with them, adding more and more beliefs. Another important aspect of beliefs to understand, and this is the most important aspect, as Janet was talking about, from the inside out. I always use the analogy of the tuning fork. Imagine yourself standing in a doorway in front, in a room, that you're facing this room full of tuning forks. And a tuning fork, of course, is something that's calibrated to a certain sound or a certain note. So you take the one in your hand and you ping it, bang it on the side of the door, and it starts singing, and you walk down the center of the aisle. And every single tuning fork that's calibrated to the one in your hand will start vibrating and singing on its own just because of the vibration. So how do our beliefs impact our experiences? Your belief is the tuning fork. A belief is nothing more than a thought that you have attached emotion to and decided it is true. I'm going to say that again. A belief is nothing more than a thought that you've attached emotion to and decided it's true. The emotion is the vibration. The belief is the tuning fork. You put those two together, it pings, it goes out into the universe to create the experience to come back to you. And one little other piece, there is something in our brain called a reticular activating system. It's called the RAS. The sole purpose of that RAS system in your brain is to filter out everything except that to which you believe. So these beliefs that maybe aren't true, maybe need to be shifted, are continuing to be reinforced until such time you examine your beliefs. And by examining them, which is what I do through my beliefs assessment, what you're doing is you're rebooting your system. It's just like a system reboot to take a look at how these experiences come up for you, how these negative issues that keep showing up over and over again, you think, I thought I was done with that, here it comes again. And that's what examining your beliefs do for you. Now, can you do it on your own? Absolutely. Took me 10 or 15 years to do so. I take all the hard work out of it for you from my own personal experience. But today we're talking about money. Money in and of itself is nothing more than an energy. It's an exchange of energy. The money, that paper bill that sits there with the one, the five, the ten, or the $100 denomination on it, put it on your coffee table, lay it down in front of you, it is basically that, a piece of paper. The issue is the perception and attachment that you have to that piece of paper. And that is rooted in our belief system. 95% of our beliefs run in our subconscious, out of view of your conscious mind, and all of it operates on autopilot. That's the most frustrating thing, because it's running on autopilot 24/7. So getting back to the issue of money, Janet is correct. And I know, like her clients, my clients continuously have money as pretty much the number up there, right up there with the number one issue. I've heard everything from, you know, I just can't, I've hit the financial thermostat, or I can only find money, or money only comes to me in a crisis every time I get ahead. There's a crisis. There's a number of experiences that go along with money. I'm here to tell you, after almost 15 years of coaching, that your issues with money have nothing to do with money. Nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with money. That's why it's necessary to start doing some digging and some excavation work, as it might be. Now, all of us through time have heard certain people talk about your belief systems, and there's certain common beliefs that we have all heard about in our lives growing up, and it's both tribal and collective.
Individual, collective.
Well, the individual is a little different, but some of the bigger ones, if I were to ask someone to sit down and tell me what you believe about money, right off the top, the ones we hear the most, money's the root of all evil.
Right.
We have to work hard for money.
Money doesn't grow on trees.
Money doesn't grow on trees. Absolutely, absolutely. But,
or my dad, what do you think I am, made of money?
That's right, that's right. Or how many times have we told our kids, I can't afford it? I did have an experience with a granddaughter who I can't remember, Renee was probably 7 or 8, and we were in Target one day, and it was a winter time, and we were walking down an aisle, and there was sunscreen there, and my granddaughter wanted the sunscreen. And I said, well, honey, first of all, we don't need it. It's not the right time of year, and you're not out in the sun. And she literally had a meltdown, and I recognized the meltdown. It was about not enough, not having enough. Now, I will say there are a few core issues at the core of everyone that does say there is not enough. And it's through our languaging and the languaging of our families that we grew up in that those words get hardwired into our system. And we don't even remember that when we're going through the experience. It does take some peeling back of the layers. But what I want to share with you, including my own personal experience, how when I said that it's not about money, I want to share with you how things can show up and affect your money. And one of them that comes to mind, and I will say my beliefs assessment holds about, oh, Janet, you've done it, about 500 belief statements.
Oh, goodness, yes, easily.
If I ask a client to just tell me what you believe about money, you'll be hard-pressed to come up with maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe. I know I was when I started doing my digging. In reality, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beliefs all intersecting and crossing each other that create what I call your hidden beliefs, money, story. And here's what I mean by that. If you happen to have a belief, and many of my clients do, that life is a struggle, nothing about that statement, nothing about that belief has anything to do with money. But what better way to keep reinforcing struggle in your life than to have that energy out there where the universe can't bring you the flow of money because it will end the struggle? I mean, that's just one of them. Fate and luck will always, you know, rule my life. Fate and luck. Money is about fate and luck. It has nothing to do with me. We've heard the ones such as, I have to have a lot of money before I can make money. This one is a biggie, and everyone tends to mark this. I live with a beautiful young woman, a roommate of mine, and this is one of her biggest issues. My spiritual growth is slowed down when I focus or work on making or having more money. We grow up in a society, in a religious society, that creates these beliefs that it's bad to have money. It's not spiritual to have money because money is bad. It's, you know, it's equated with power and greed. I just saw something on Facebook the other day about the Koch brothers, and Bernie Sanders was commenting about the billionaires and the 1% and Walmart employees having to go on food stamps and assistance because they can't make a living wage. And the words used were the greed and power of billionaires. And here's the problem with the statement. There's nothing wrong with being a billionaire. Nothing. The energy that people take in and associate that is greed and power. So when you link those two up and choose to believe that millionaires and billionaires are all bad and greedy, you have to block that from your system because you, as a loving spirit, don't ever want to be that kind of person. In reality, you never have to be, and it doesn't matter how much money that you have. We're told that it's greedy to want or have more money. We're told that wealthy people look down on us. And all of those aspects of behaviors that don't feel good as they are connected to money are swimming around in our unconscious mind, preventing the flow of money coming to us because in our heart of hearts, we're not greedy, we're not bad, we're not those things, but we have attached that word or that energy to money. Now, we're not consciously sitting there saying, I'm blocking it from me. Nobody wants to block money. All money is options and choices. That's all it is. Options and choices, the energy and the flow of the universe giving you more options and more choices. I have people that believe that families wouldn't accept them if they had more money. Or I have many, many, many women, oh my goodness, my husband will leave me if I have more money. My husband won't accept it if I make more money than him. At the core of our being, there never seems to be enough. Now, when we say that there never seems to be enough, enough incorporates the energy of money. But we're saying there's not enough food, there's not enough time, there's not enough gas in the car, there's not enough hours in the day. But it's all related to the flow of abundance and the flow of money. Because what
and,
is money?
You brought an interesting point up there too, Susan, is that last week we talked a little bit about languaging and how we talk to ourselves. And you know, these beliefs that that are rolling around in the head in our minds create words that we say or that we tell ourselves or that we tell other people, i.e., I can't afford that, or the worry that I'm not going to have this bill paid or that bill paid, and that plays into this as well. I mean, that belief is now becoming something that we're stating. And then can even further trigger the emotion of not having enough or not being able to afford something.
And when you said it, you pinged the tuning fork.
Right.
That
okay.
has to come back into your experience with the reticular activating system, blocking out all the other opportunities before you and only the experiences to match that belief. Now, we have beliefs that say, in addition to life is such a struggle, there are certain people that believe religiously we are all here to struggle. We are all here to struggle. The word struggle has a vibration. It goes out into the universe. What has to come back to you? Struggle. It has to come back. It's a universal law.
It's either struggle or suffer. There's that other word, suffer.
Struggle.
A lot of people.
And isn't it true, Janet, that there is nothing in our human design charts for struggle and suffering?
Well, in the human design chart, there is a channel of struggle, but the struggle in that isn't about survival. It is about how we are able to take something that we see in the world and make it change. So that we can, move forward. And so we struggle to make changes when we carry that. I guarantee you there is no gate of suffering or no channel of suffering in human design. And there is no gate of lack and no channel of lack in
or limitation. Exactly.
Yeah.
I have had people mark on my assessments, I expect suffering and pain. Well, if you expect it, you're giving the universe instructions. And part of the instruction, where does suffering and pain come from? It comes from lack and limitation, among other things. I feel like such a loser. I feel like damaged goods. I feel ordinary. I feel like an outcast. I promise you, all of these affect your bottom line. Now, one of the, I have a couple, three of money stories. Had a client from New Jersey call me, and she said, I need help. She does social media marketing, website design, etc. She said, I don't know what's going on, but my so-called good clients have quit paying me. Money's not coming in, and I can't get any new clients. So we went through this process, and as the story goes, that's why these assessments are so good at putting together exactly what the story is. Her parents immigrated over from Portugal, and she was 8 years old at the time, and she did speak English. Well, the parents did not. So they put her in charge of calling the landlord and utility companies and taking care of business and getting them settled here in the United States. She said, I hated it. It was awful. I've always been made to be the responsible one, and I hated it. I just hated being the responsible one. It was frightening, and it can be. Look at your child at age 8. They're just a little child. Well, yeah. That was her story. So when it came to the part in the assessments that said, I fear failure or I fear success, and she marked, I'm in fear of failure. Well, that's where my spiritual intuitiveness comes in, because I said, are you sure? And she said, well, yeah. I said, think about this. What has to happen in order for you to be successful in your business? And to have money flowing and a never-ending list of clients coming in. It took her a while and gave her a few hints, but the bottom line is, in order to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to be responsible.
Uh-huh.
The little 8-year-old girl was at work here in her life. And this little 8-year-old girl who hated being responsible, as her business really started to take off, the unconscious realization that she had to now be a responsible person and hated it created circumstances to shut that down. And literally, just upon that realization alone, she emailed me, said, you're not going to believe it. I had 3 clients email me, apologize profusely for being late on their payments, and money started flowing again.
Wow.
Now, I had another client. And Patricia was from France. And Patricia had an issue she wanted to work with me on, and that was, Susan, I can get money and big money, but only in a crisis, and it's exhausting. So again, we went through the assessments. We went through all connecting the dots of all of her beliefs. And she said something to me, and it just was a hit. And I said, Patricia, why is it that you don't believe you deserve money? And she had a revelation. When she was a young girl, her father, I think nowadays would be deemed abusive, but for no reason at all, he would start spanking her very hard. Now, so there's pain going into the body. To justify his actions, all he would say to her was she deserved the spanking.
Ah.
So the word deservedness is now attached with pain. She couldn't have money or deserve to have money come into her life easily and effortlessly. She had to keep that at bay. She had to keep it out there because it was connected to pain. Again, once the realization of how that came about, money started flowing again without the need to be in crisis. In my own particular situation, and it happened later in life. Now, mind you, I will share with you that I was very cognizant and clear that as the eldest of 3, I had a younger sister, 13 months, and 2.5-year-old younger brother. But I was always, through languaging and through behaviors, basically told by my parents I would never make it on my own without a man in my life. In other words, I had to be married and have a man take care of me. And I just resented that so much. Part of my move here to New Mexico, I originally moved to Santa Fe, and I had friends say, well, do you have family there? No. Do you have friends there? No. Are you crazy? Possibly. But I deliberately threw myself into an environment where I had to sink or swim. And trust me, it was not a joyous ride. I had a pattern show up for quite a few years, and my best friend here in Albuquerque walked through this pattern with me. Every time it happened, she and I would just sit at her dining room table, and we would just both sit and look at one another and shake our heads, like, here we are again. And here was the pattern. My two older girls were grown and gone, and my youngest daughter was still with me, and she was in fifth grade, at that time sixth grade. And money would come in, I'd be able to pay the rent, pay the bills, and all of a sudden it would just up and dry up. It would just disappear, putting me into a panic. How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to feed my child? To the point where I would have to move. Now, here's the bizarre thing. It isn't cheap to move. You need first and last month's rent. You need to switch utilities. It costs money to move, and the dadgum money would show up to make the move. So if it would show up to make the move, why wouldn't it just show up to let me be? Well, this pattern went on for a very, very long time, and it was frustrating. I knew I was creating it. I didn't blame anybody for it, but here's something about this that I will share with you. To this day, and people, Janet knows, have a hard time. It's that good old receiving thing. My dad's voice in my head. I have a hard time asking for help. Now, there's a fine line between being a victim and really, truly turning to dear friends and loved ones because you just can't do it all. But I wouldn't ask anybody for anything, and I certainly wouldn't ask people for money, but I would tell my story. Oh, woe is me. I was playing the victim card. What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm putting the energy out there. And what happened? All of a sudden, friends and loved ones would just, here, take this. Don't worry about it. I hope it helps. And I hated it because I was creating it, but I wasn't creating it in a self-sufficient manner. Fast forward. I had a relationship with a New York Italian. It was long distance for a year and a half, 2 years. He begged me to move out there. There's a line in the movie Under the Tuscan Sun that says, what is it about love that makes us so stupid? Well, that was me. Moved back to New York, lived there for a year. It didn't work out, no regrets. But I was hurt very badly by a lot of things that transpired. And I'm an avid journaler. So I'm journaling and journaling and journaling. And one day I was journaling something about him, and I wrote down the word expectation. And I became physically ill. And I was conscious of the fact that there was something attached to that word that was trying to reveal itself to me. And I had no clue what it was. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, it came to me. The belief that I had created. Now, people, I can't tell you how I created it. It doesn't even matter. I did create it. And this is what my belief said. My belief was structured somehow that if people loved you, they would rescue you, and they would rescue you through money. So I would create the experience, unbeknownst to me, go through this hellfire and brimstone, not knowing what the next day was going to bring me, cry and tell my story. I mean, this is how bizarre this is. I was very successful in network marketing, and companies find out who the successful people are. Got a call one day from a guy in California, and I just said to him, I said, you know, I'll look at your literature, but honestly, I don't even know how I'm going to pay my rent tomorrow. So just FedEx it to me, and we hung up the phone. and I'm just stressed to the max. I've got to come up with the rent, don't know where it's going to come from. The FedEx envelope sat on the couch for 2 days. Finally, needing to distract myself, I opened the FedEx envelope, pulled out the brochures, and out onto the floor fell eight $100 bills.
Oh, my goodness.
Never knew the guy, never met him, never spoke to him again. He put eight $100 bills in that FedEx envelope that sat on my couch for 2 days. All because
all
I made the
remark. You're worrying about how you're going to pay the rent.
How I'm going to pay the rent. But all because I made the remark, look, I'd love to come to California, find out more about it, but I don't even know how I'm going to pay the rent. I was appreciative. I had gratitude. Here comes the money. I pay the rent. But still, I didn't like how it went down. So I created this belief that said, if people love you, they will rescue you, but they will rescue you with money. I attached it to money. Heaven only knows how I created the belief, but do you understand now what I'm saying about your hidden belief money story? Whatever
yeah,
is going
really
on with the blockages.
The whole concept of story, because there is a story. We are always telling ourselves a story. Right?
It is.
It relates
it's
back
a story.
To many times in our lives where we've experienced either some form of lack or been told, no, we can't have that, or in your case, your father saying, you won't make it out there without a husband, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So,
and Janet, didn't you and I, didn't you call me one morning and there was something coming up for you and we kind of walked through this thing for a few hours, 2-3 hours, and finally this aha, but it was something that came up in your childhood that had to do with the fact that you had to please, you were always told there was no money. You were always led to believe, and you made question of that to the people that were taking care of you. But wasn't there an issue that surfaced that went back to that created a story for you as well?
Yeah, there was. Now I'm trying to remember. I know that initially one of the issues in my life was around foster parents who were being paid to take care of me and my little sister, and presumably that money was meant to go to us, right? Not to us as in, you know, hand over
right.
the $400 some dollars.
Clothes and food and things
exactly.
that you needed and wanted, yes.
Yes, but every
yes.
time I asked for something, it was always, no, I don't have the money, or we can't afford it, or whatever. And so how that got all twisted somehow in my mind and created a belief that there's never enough money for me.
Exactly.
Or my needs, you know, that kind of thing.
So what I'd like to do now, because I'm hoping that I've given a good foundation of the importance of understanding and getting to your hidden money story, which, by the way, I'm going to make a short announcement about that right now. Janet and I are going to do something a little bit different with the people that want readings today, in that we're both going to be working with you. One, I'm going to be asking you if you can tell me what it is that you do believe or have come to know, or what your biggest issue is. And, you know, Janet's going to be looking at your charts at that time, and together we're going to take a look at some possibilities. The second thing I want to mention right here before we go into our readings, because we tend to go right up to the last second of the time we have allotted. For any of the callers that are on the show today listening to me, or anyone that listens to the archives here in the future, I'm making a special offer to you today. I have a two and a half hour, very, very, very complex and intense belief breakthrough coaching assessment. And for any of the listeners on the show today that want to get to their money story, I am offering that for half price. And you can reach me through Janet. I'm going to give you my email address, but you can always reach me through Janet. And if you really, really, really want to get to the bottom of what's going on, and then Janet can help you also astrologically and through human design and putting all those pieces together, you're able to do in a few hours' time what took me years to do. So if you're interested in a belief breakthrough coaching assessment focusing on your hidden beliefs money story, email me at coach, C-O-A-C-H, S, as in Susan, Turnbull, T-U-R-N, B as in boy, U-L-L, at yahoo.com. Now, if you've emailed me and got the email address wrong and don't hear back from me, because I cover my email address or my email box and I clean it out every day, it means that you might have skewed a letter. Contact Janet, and she'll get in touch with me. And I am offering that session to you for half price. And it is, Janet's been through it. She knows the extent of it. She knows how deep it goes, how extensive it is. And anyone that really wants to break free and move forward, you have to start with what's running the show. And I can help you figure out what's running the show. So based on that, Janet, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for going into all of that and sharing some of your own experiences with it, because I would bet there are a lot of people listening who can, you know, tap into that and feel, you know, at least some kinship with some of the experiences that you had as well. Today, when we take reader or take people for readings, we're going to work with beliefs, your belief around money, and then we'll also take a look at your human design chart, and I've also pulled your regular astrology charts. So we'll have a sort of bigger look, if you will, at what's going on. So we're going to start taking
out.
Callers.
Huh? I said from the inside out. Pretty
from
awesome.
From the inside out. Yeah. So our first caller is Rhonda. And Rhonda, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hi, Rhonda.
Nice to talk to you again. And Rhonda, I have both of your charts in front of me right now. So why don't you start by telling us, you know, your particular money concern or, you know, what your question is today about that?
I know that for I've gone as many directions as I possibly can to get to the core of what my money beliefs are, you know, doing it independently, reading. And so I feel like I generally have a clue, but I just am so frustrated by the pattern that is playing out. That as far as I've been told in looking at my chart, money shouldn't be a concern. It's not a problem, but in reality, it is. And
what's the pattern, Rhonda? What's the pattern that keeps showing up?
Well, I know that the root goes back to, you know, as a recovering Catholic, it's that whole belief system that spiritual. You know, you can't charge for spiritual things, and
yes,
that women are supposed to take care of everyone else before themselves.
Yes.
Also, that belief that, I mean, I know that my parents were a product of the Depression, and so it's there's never really enough, and what you do have, you really hold close. And I know that I've always been, I also know that on the day that I graduated from college with an art degree, being the first one to graduate in my family with a degree, my dad, with very good intentions, said to me, you know, now you better find something to fall back on because you'll never make a living as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I went every direction, you know, that could still kind of keep me close to being able to do art. So I went into education and then into teaching. And so I know that that's kind of playing at a stealth level as hard as I've tried to uproot and rewire those. And I know where it's showing up now to hear your of how it fits together with me astrologically is, as Janet knows, about 8 years ago, I took a year and spent primarily, kind of set my book. I had just published a book right on the heels of 9/11. Couldn't really promote a book on happiness on the heels of that tragedy, and then took time off to be with my grandnephew for a year when he was going through cancer. And then on the heels of that, I took another 3 years hiatus to be with my own grandson with autism. So when my own health started to crumble as a result of that, I came back to the Northwest and was attempting to learn a whole new model of business, because I had for 17 years been married to someone who was kind of that used car salesman version of being in business. So that whole thing of, you know, my parents were in high integrity, but they worked themselves to death. And then I was married to someone who had little or no integrity, but seemed to be able to attract money and but didn't feel at all uncomfortable in massing debt. So I went through this whole thing of trying to learn how to open a flow of money for myself and in a way that that made sense to me, that balanced that spiritual way that didn't model the way my ex-husband did it. But here I am. My health still has continued to be challenged, and especially since that hasn't really allowed me to implement what I have invested a whole lot of money to learn how to do, a whole online form of manifesting a flow of income for myself. And literally since last March, I've had episodes of vertigo and migraines, so I get that I'm supposed to put a new spin on life somehow. And there's something, some form of pain that I'm in that I need to acknowledge, and it's that whole, how do I balance self-care and doing what I love opens a flow of money. So I've just got so much convoluted stuff going on right now. And I know that you're, I think it's wonderful, Susan, that you're involved with Access Consciousness, because that's just an aha piece that's come to me just very recently. Mm-hmm. So I know that I've been able to continue to this is another way that I can continue to let go of old beliefs without, I mean, if I could figure it out and do it linear logically, I could have done it a bazillion times over. But there's,
right,
it's those self-core beliefs that I would really love to shake free of and own my intuition, own my sensitivity as an asset rather than as a limiting something that I'm really judged for.
Well, the migraine headaches, the underlying emotion attached to the migraines is I am unable to flow easily with life.
Mm-hmm.
And any of that connotation, anything that has to do with struggle of life and unable to flow and this, that, and the other. So one, your body is talking to you. Obviously, you know that. That's the message it's giving to you. So then the next step would be, okay, that's the vibration that's going out there. And again, you're right. It shows up in many, many, many different ways. But
Susan, another piece that is coming up as true for me is that when I was 17, I had a near-death experience. And since that time and prior to that, I had 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 an experience of being molested. So there were ways that being outside of my body has felt a whole lot better than being inside my body. So ever since coming back in, I've really struggled.
And let me just share with you, you're talking to a kindred spirit. I had the same experiences when I was a little girl that didn't show up until I was in my 30s. And it was based on a question that a grief therapist, or I was in counseling for grief therapy when I lost my mother, and happened to tell her about a repeated nightmare. And the repeated nightmare was what triggered, she said, many children have been abused have that same nightmare. And I was just, went to grandma and grandpa's house for Sunday dinner. Absolutely no way, no how. Well, Yes. I mean, I've spent the rest of my 30 years doing the digging. Yes, it existed. Yes, it happened. Now, what you said is very key. I went in for a healing session one time of some kind, and immediately the woman said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Susan, where are you?" And I said, "What do you mean where I am? I'm sitting right here." She said, "No, uh-uh." She said, "Honey, you're not here." Bottom line is, what happened to me was so horrific between the ages of 4 and 12 that I decided at that time to check out.
Right.
And I needed to check out. I had to check out for my survival. So that energy is also another part that's out there, you know, playing. Not having money is a victim experience. Now, there's many different ways victimization can show up. That's my core issue, is victimization. So that's, you know, how it shows up in money is a million different ways, but my need to punish myself or feel at fault, or heaven forbid, Janet said this, I'm not deserving and worthy of money or anything good, and things that are good are attached to money. Money can bring you things that are good. I'm not deserving or worthy of that, because how could I be for that thing to have happened to me? I must not have been deserving or worthy or a good little girl if that thing could happen to me. So worthiness and deservedness plays a very big part in money.
Yeah, and you know, if I remember talking to you, Rhonda, she has a human design chart, Susan, that's complete. Every center is defined. So
wow.
She's broadcasting on all 9 energy centers. And then,
wow.
Rhonda, I don't know if we ever really looked at your Western astrology chart, but you have a lot of emphasis, Mars, the Sun, and the part of Fortune in your second house, which is the house that I always look at in that chart for money issues or for what money would bring to you. And, you know, first of all, when the Sun is there, there's a lot of emphasis here, because underlying some of your money beliefs is going to be self-worth. And the very fact that you suffered at any kind of abuse, you know, much less sexual abuse or being molested, undermines your self-worth and your self-esteem. And so you set into motion there the whole set of learning lessons that you were meant to learn here. And now you add Mars to it, and it becomes a sort of action-oriented kind of belief. It puts the belief in action. And so you're partly looking at the possibility of struggling with that one all through your life. Now, she has, like I said, she's got a complete set of broadcasting channels in her human
design
chart.
What's your profile?
She is a profile 4-6.
Okay.
So she's a generator, a 4-6 generator, because she has quadruple split definition.
Hello.
And basically what that means, Rhonda, is that all of your centers are not working together. They're not flowing together. And somebody with your kind of setup needs people, because people act as the bridge in your life to bring things all together for you. And that 4-6 profile is called an opportunistic role model, specifically because your opportunities come from your networks of people that you're around or that you work with. And literally, there is nothing in this chart, literally, quite literally, that says that you're not meant to have money. But it also shows me that you're designed to get money through communicating, writing, talking, or interacting with the networks of people in your life. And that's where your opportunities for abundance are going to come from. And Susan, I heard you taking a breath. You wanted to say something.
Well, isn't 6-line profile a triphasic profile? The first 30 years, second. And Rhonda, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
63.
Okay. You're actually ready to step in. You really, truly are ready to step into that role model phase where all of this stuff is getting ready to come to an end. My intuitive feeling is whatever pieces still remain in your struggles have to do more with your individual belief, your hidden money story, and how that plays out. Because you are where people are in their life that, you know, the first 30 years are extremely difficult. You go up on the roof, and then you come down at, what, 50-ish, Janet? 55?
Yeah, 48 to 52.
48 to 52. And then you come down off the roof, figuratively, because you've looked at everything that works, everything that doesn't work, and now you're ready to step into the phase of the role model to be that role model to the rest of the world. You're ready to step into that role. So any little glitches that are still showing up, my gut feeling is, based on what Janet said with human design and astrology, it's all the individual tuning forks that are out there pinging that still haven't been cleaned up yet, or that one big story, that one big breakthrough hasn't been revealed yet. That's my intuition on this.
Yeah. One of the things that I have really been stepping, it's been interesting having this vertigo and the migraines. It's where I've been trying to keep my business afloat, but health challenges have continued to come up, surgeries and health challenges and stuff, ever since I returned. And my molestation happened in a hospital. And so I am consciously aware of that and have used it as an opportunity to clear out all of that. But I've been having challenges with my eyes that, you know, it's like I don't have good depth perception. I don't have good peripheral vision. So for several months now, I haven't been able to be on the computer and do my work in the way I think I should be able to. And yet I need to see a new way of seeing. I need to have
yes.
a new perception.
The eyes are definitely all about what is it that you don't want to see.
And I've been identified with a hearing loss that was part of the vertigo thing. So it's also like, well, what am I not willing to hear? You know, it's like. It's all new and up for grabs. It's all ready to be rewritten.
Rhonda, one of the things, too, the emotional message under with the eyes is there's some other things here that might do a little pinging for you. Okay, not wanting to see life as it is. Life is weak and out of focus, not seeing eye to eye with another. But here's two more that might trigger something. Not forgiving is one. An inability to see one's own self-worth.
That's the one that resonates.
I figured it
would. Verified by her second house with Sun, Mars, part of fortune in it.
Yep.
And, you know, what's interesting about all of that, too, for you, Rhonda, is that all of that energy, that Gemini Sun and Gemini Mars, Gemini part of fortune in the second house, it leads me to believe there's like two of you here, right? That Gemini split. And I'm wondering, you know, the vestiges of the person that you were before the near-death experience are still there, as well as the person you became after the near experience. And so which one is it? It seems like there's a needing to bring together into a whole for you. That because really when I look at your chart, there is nothing here that says that there's no reason you shouldn't be thriving instead of just barely surviving. And I think that you're coming to a point in time where that's going to be revealed for you, as Uranus is in that 12th house for you right now and digging up anything that is inauthentic to your real story, to your truth. And all of this other stuff is just overlaid the real truth of who you are. And none of it is the real truth until you get past all those beliefs. And I think maybe, you know, working with Susan may even help you, you know, get to the identity of some of the beliefs, the core beliefs that are holding you back. You know, Susan, you'll know this, that in her chart, she has the gate two, which is part of the channel that's related to money and the reception of money, right? The accepting of it, Rhonda. So in that the gate two is the receptive gate, right? That part is what you have sitting there, and the planet Mercury is sitting there. And when I see planet Mercury sitting here, it's that often the money that comes to you, that you receive, comes when you are out in the world communicating a message. Whether it's writing, whether it's talking, whether it's, I know you have a newsletter because I get it every other week or something, or a couple times a week.
Yeah.
I mean a month. And
once a week.
Yeah, it's weekly. And so in a way there's lots of opportunities for you to do this, but there's a part of you, a schism, something that's not quite brought together into a whole here. And maybe that's something, you know, that through beliefs that you can discover and get to the crux of.
Well, I know one of the beliefs that I know that one of the beliefs that not only me but many women, it's that whole thing of you have to push through in order to succeed. And I just have been coming up against one health obstacle after another that it's like, well, I can't even work on the computer, so what can I do? I can sit and stare out my window. And it has been about I need to receive because I need somebody to sometimes drive for me or some, you know, it's that whole thing of asking and receiving. And I just read one of the consciousness books about, you know, money isn't the problem, you are, and that it's about one's ability to receive. So I want to receive, and it seems like I have to find my way of doing that without pushing, and how do I pay attention to my body when I've used it as a tool, as a battering ram to push through life, rather than really inhabit my body and use it as a gift.
And, you know, part of that is that with all of those centers filled in, that you are full, right? You have no room to take in any other energy. And so you're meant to be receptive here in this gate, as in receiving. But if you've, you know, worked all your life and you've filled everything up, then you have no room to receive anything else. And so that means now it's time to relax. Your body's breaking down as a reason, as a mirror to what's going on here with your energy. You don't have any energy to spare.
I'm hearing the words trust. It's time to trust and allow. And that's what the last year and a half, 2 years has been for me. And Janet's been on this journey with me. I reached a place in my life, Rhonda, where I had to embody the words faith and trust. We all throw it out there. We just all give lip service. Oh, yes, we got to have faith. We got to have trust. But we don't embody what that is. And I created a situation for myself where that is all that I could do, was to embody faith and trust and allow. Because what I'm picking up is there's still an internal struggle and you're still not allowing. And what is allowing? Allowing is the flow.
Right.
And I get what you're saying. I feel a kindred spirit with you because I, like you, it's push, push, push. Got to get up. I was a single mom for many years. I'm the breadwinner. I've got to do that. And listen to my language. I have to do this. I should do that. I can't afford this. I can't afford to slack. I can't afford to this. I've got to go do this. I've got, listen to that languaging I did up until a year and a half ago when I said I'm done. And I created the experience that made it done for me. And I stepped back and even let go of a lot of friends that were like, what's the matter with you, Susan? Are you crazy? Why aren't you out there and doing this and doing that? Nope. And I just turned off the dial and didn't even talk to a lot of very close friends because of judgment. And in the end of the day, it wasn't their judgment. It was my own self-judgment coming at me as a reflection from all my friends.
Well, I know that being in the past month, I've not been able to be on the computer much, and doing, for a writer, that's been challenging. So, but what I came to the realization, what the gift in that was, that what I was able to do more of is art. So I'm doing more of my art and surrendering more and more, just letting go. And today had the insight. It's like since forever through the cancer and autism and everything, I've somehow managed to get my newsletter out once a week, which has been a wonderful way of amassing this body of work once a week. And yet today I had the insight of I need to be willing to let that go. I need to just press the pause button and have the courage to say to all of my loyal readers, this is the truth of what's going on for me, and many women are going through this, and that's where I know that I need to trust and just step back.
Yes, because that's coming from an authentic place. That's what women want to hear. You know, that's because I can bet you in a moment it's probably going to pop up here in my chat room with women that are sitting here listening and can validate this. It's their concern as well. And, you know, I said that you were here to communicate. Well, art is a form of communication. It's beauty. It's harmony. And remember, I said this eclipse pattern in Libra. Libra is the sign of the aesthetic artist, the person who is concerned with beauty and harmony and peace and serenity. Those things are the things that you can thrust out there right now that will attract more of that to you. So, yeah. You know, send a piece of art out in your next newsletter.
And or what came up for me too is, if you can't see, use the software. Is it Dragon Speak?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speak from your heart. Speak your newsletter into the computer. Do your newsletter while you're doing your art. Multitask, but let it come forth through your voice.
Yeah.
You have a defined throat.
Yeah. That's the direction I'm leaning right now is just, there's no way, the universe has just not provided any way over the hurdles. I mean, it finally, like, you just have to sit and do nothing. Wow. Just sit and stare.
Welcome to my world.
Stop pushing against the inevitable and just sit there.
And don't attach your worth to the sitting. This was huge for me this last year and a half. My worth, I had to get in touch with my worth for an extended period of time while I was not on the phone and not out there marketing for clients and not doing my speaking engagements and not doing this. And I really had to get in touch with finding and getting in touch with my worth and realizing what my worth was. And it was not attached to the things I was doing, but discovering and uncovering my worth for who I was being and becoming.
Well, you know, listen, everybody who's out there, worth is not something you earn. It's intrinsic.
Mm-mm.
It's intrinsic. It's within you. And there's nothing that you do out there that earns you brownie points or earns you, you know, street cred for having self-worth. There's just nothing. It's internal. You came with it. Because you're a divine being here, you have that worth. And
that's where the beliefs come in, though.
That we got twisted up, right? That we twisted up the
beliefs
that we had
come
to
in.
Do.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where the individual beliefs come in, from what we are taught and trained and hear and watch and listen and absorb like little sponges on our journey in this life. And we've attached all that to our worth instead of what the universe is and your body in that body, mind, spirit connection is literally forcing you to do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. Ladies, I hate to break this up, but we have only 15 minutes left, and I have several other people that would like readings. Rhonda, thank you so much for calling in today and for talking to us about this. And I wish you well, and I hope you'll connect with Susan and see if you guys can work together to get to some beliefs. And if not, that's okay, too.
Yeah.
Surrender and release yourself to relaxation.
Thank you both very, very much.
You're very welcome.
You are very welcome. You know, I wish I could do a whole show in one reading, and yet there are other people sitting here waiting too, and I'm sure there are some other interesting stories that we want to get to. And let's see if we can take Luann from St. Martin. Luann, are you out there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can. Hi. How are you tonight?
Hi. Oh, I'm actually in St. Lucia.
Hey, Lucia.
Okay.
All I know is that sounds warm and Caribbean, and I'm freezing cold right
warm,
now. So
very warm right now. Lots of warmth. Yes, fuzzy feelings, yes.
Nice. Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on for you. I know that in the chat room I was seeing that you were identifying with a lot of what Rhonda was saying because you're also an artist. And you were also identifying with a lot of things that Susan was saying because your profiles are similar. So in a nutshell, what is it that you would like to have us work with you with on tonight?
Oh, the big thing on the burner right now is money. How can I have my art work for me? Because everything else that I've tried has not worked. And when I went within myself, when I sit still with myself, all I'm getting at is work with your art, be yourself. And I'm saying you cannot work on an art. You know, I have been growing up with left-brain people who are very academic, who worked hard to get what they needed, and all of my sisters are in college right now and are having jobs up in Canada, and I'm always the one that is the exception. I'm the only one who's the artist right now.
The black sheep of the family?
The black sheep, but, you know, the silent but deadly type, right? Yeah. I guess I'm the black sheep because no matter how hard I tried, I really tried hard to be the good little girl, but I always wind up being in trouble in some way or form of fashion. I was the daydream all my life, and I would get spanked and severely punished for it. And I grew up, I guess I was such an old soul. I always said to myself, I've been there, done that in another past life, maybe, so I don't want to do X, Y, and Z anymore. And when I was in high school, we here say secondary school, when I was in secondary school, throughout kindergarten all the way, no, not even kindergarten, throughout primary all the way to secondary school, community college, even art school, I was always the odd girl out. I was always ostracized. I was picked upon. I was treated as a nerd because I was always in the corner talking to myself. And if I'm not talking to myself, I was trying to catch up with what the teacher was saying because I just didn't get it. And then I would try to get it by myself by going after books and try to create my own solution because, as far as I'm concerned, I just don't get it. Everybody gets it, and I'm always left behind. Matter of fact, I had to repeat exams, and I nearly got kicked out of community college, not because
I was... Where did you go to school, Luann?
Where did I go to school, as in primary school or elementary school?
No, where? Well, yeah.
St. Lucia.
So that's where you were born and raised?
No. I was born in St. Martin, and I had a lot of fun. I had lots of friends. But when I went to St. Lucia at the age of 6 going on 7, that was when I went quiet. That was when it changed drastically for me.
Yeah. You know, It's really interesting, yeah. Luann, because in your human design, you carry a lot of energy in what we call the individual circuitry. And that particular circuitry, the number one thing that we hear from people with that circuitry is that they feel alone or they feel different, that nobody understands me.
And
yet you are the people, the people with the individual circuitry like you are the artists, the creative thinkers, the people who carry sort of the mutation energy of what is to come, of what could be if we allow beauty and forms that are different than what everybody accepts as the real and move forward with that. In other words, you're sort of the harbingers of a new paradigm, of any new paradigm, whether it be in art or something like that. So it makes it very difficult then for you to be in a family that is very, it sounds like they're more tribal or they're more, what's the other one, collective, where they're not carrying as much individualized energy. So, I mean, if I were you, I would say I'm going to wear this like a badge of courage.
I'm forced to wear it like a badge of courage because nothing I do works. So I'm at the point where I'm saying I don't give a damn. I'm just going to have to be myself, and you know,
let's reframe something you just said. You said nothing I do works, and that is a belief, right?
Yes, it is.
Maybe it's more like nothing that you try to do in the way that everybody thinks it should be done isn't working. But if I do it my way, with my unique sensitivities, then it will work because what works for me is different from everybody else. And that's the truest thing I can say about looking at this chart for you.
That is what I've
got. Is that you are unique. And it doesn't help any, Susan, that she has her son in gate 28, which is the gate of struggle. The struggle to bring forth a new paradigm. Right?
Being. She's had family and educational system. Everything in her world has taken the square peg and tried to push it through the round hole and expectations of the family, the educational system and society itself. And, you know, letting all that go to allow yourself to be who you really are. Plus, there probably are some very interesting and unique beliefs that have been put into place all along the way. I'm listening to the languaging since you've come on. And there's definitely a lot of energy and vibration in the words that you're using. And so, therefore, there's the thoughts. You're literally, you right now are the only one putting the experiences out there that are coming back to you.
See, you're the square peg that's trying to fit yourself into the round hole.
And I can't, no.
Yeah, and so what you're seeing in your family and in your world is really just the reflection of what you yourself have been trying to do because you've been trying to fit in all your life and fitting into, you know, what is the normal, let's say, and I'm using little quotations with my fingers and you can't see that, but that normal isn't you. Your normal is a completely different animal, and it's more magical. It's more mystical. And other people that don't carry that energy may not understand that.
And that's okay.
It is absolutely okay. Absolutely. Yeah. And so you have to go forward from here doing what you know is best for you, right? Going forward, doing best for you. Because ultimately, you're the only one holding yourself back here. You know, I've seen your Facebook page with your art. It is unique. It's totally
totally unique. And
different.
Matter of fact, I can't go into any art forum because when I look at other artists' work, I'm saying mine is not like that. Yet when I go to Facebook and I share it, someone PM me and saying, please do more of it because my soul is hungry for this.
The word that's coming up for me, for Luann, the word that's coming up for me for you is expectations. There's an expectation. You've been imbued with expectations from school, society, teachers, family, etc. Drop the expectations. Remove the vibration, remove the energy of expectations from your life and allow who you are to come forth. And here's what's going to happen when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you will begin to connect with your tribe.
Wow, you're seeing what I am hearing from my inner, the still small voice. I'm getting, what was the word you just said?
Expectations.
Find your tribe. I'm getting find your people. Find your people.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe that you're saying the exact same thing. Wow.
Yeah.
So
you've got to go out there and dare to be different. You know, get more of that. The more different you allow yourself to be, the more success you're going to find here. And I just have one other thing to tell you, and because we're down to like 4.5 minutes here, is that you are moving out of a 9 personal year, and in 2015 we'll move into a 1 personal year. So there, you're in a phase of closing out, of completion, so that next year you will be able to make some key changes. Now, you know, don't get all giggly on me at the moment, because I think it's probably going to be a little more delayed for you in that. Look to about August of next year for huge, rapid changes. But those changes occur because of the many myriads of little things that you'll change between now and then, mostly coming from within, right? Allowing yourself to be.
But I'm the firstborn, you know. I'm the one with, I'm the first of 4 girls. I have 3 sisters behind me, and I'm always having this thought in my head saying, I have to be an example.
No. The best example you could be, Luann, is to be who you are.
To be your true self, to dare to be your authentic self. I guarantee you, your 3 younger sisters are looking up at you going, I would love to just live my truth, because they're probably
doing things that aren't
necessarily their truth.
That's exactly my
difference.
Yes, my sister right behind me is looking up to me and saying, I love your art. I love that your attitude. I love your behavior. It's so different. You know, please
you
don't change. And I'm like, really? my classmates from way back when they saw my art, I never knew they existed until now. They call, you know, they PM me saying, I've always loved your art since secondary school. I'm like, really? I'm the one that is, you know, the ostracized one, and I was the nerd. I was the one in the corner. Everybody was laughing at me, you know. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But that is the truth of who you are. That is the truth of who you are. And to try to be anything else is where the issue, that's where this is coming up.
Yeah.
By saying those words, I was the this, I was a, you're putting a label and a vibration that keeps that alive in you.
Okay.
You
and
need
holding
to find
on to
a new vocabulary. You need to find a new vocabulary.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Susan, I want to give you a last couple of minutes here, because we're down to 2 minutes, to share with everybody how they can get a hold of you if they would like to go through your beliefs assessment.
The easiest way is to email me at Coach, COACHS, Turnbull, TURN as in Nancy, B as in boy, ULL at Yahoo. And it would be helpful if you put in the subject line, beliefs assessment, that way I spot it immediately in the 200-300 emails I get a day.
Very nice.
So yeah, if you'll just email me and contact me, and then we'll set up a time where we can talk about this a little further and possibly set up an appointment.
That would be awesome. And everybody out there, there's a couple of people, Debbie and Helena or Helena, that we didn't get to you today. But if you want to email us what your concerns were, I will share that with Susan and be able to maybe, you know, do something really quickly for the two of you. Debbie, of course, you know how to get a hold of me. But for Helena, it is Janet@living-astrology.com. and we would love to hear from you. Next week, Susan and I will be again on the show. Next week's emphasis is on relationships, probably the second most popular issue that I have clients coming to me for. And we'll talk about how your beliefs play into that one. And everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Steve, thank you so much for being the angel in the back room. I love all of you. Have a great evening and have a stellar week.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology. You can reach Janet for readings or astrological advice at www.living-astrology.com or by email at janet@living-astrology.com. Would you like to host your own weekly radio show? If so, contact us at empoweryouradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to be considered as a guest or would like to recommend a guest, email us at empoweryouradio@gmail.com. Goodbye for now and have a stellar week.